Tuesday night is Wyoming's primary election, and while there is a race for the state's open U.S. Senate seat and others, more interesting races surround the attempt by the conservative arm of the state Republican Party to gain power in the legislature. Nick Reynolds of the Casper Star Tribune joins me to discuss this. Let's set the stage, if you wouldn't mind, and explain to listeners what's been going on in the Wyoming Republican Party, because there seems to be a couple of factions.
Yeah, well, the backstory goes back well over a decade here. We've really started to see a lot more of this activity sort of coming out in the last 2 years, where we have a more activist wing of the Republican Party that tends to identify with more far-right policies. We're talking about a sustained opposition to gay marriage, for example, very pro-life, very pro-gun, that sort of deal. We've sort of seen this transformation in the Republican Party infrastructure over the last couple of years, where purists to that mind of thought have actually managed to take over the party infrastructure and have now gotten organized to the point where they are fielding candidates in races that for a long time have been mostly dominated by moderate Republicans. We're seeing a doubling in the number of House races this year that are currently held by Republicans that are now facing challengers from their right flank in the most part. And we're seeing about 47% of incumbent Senate Republicans facing primaries. So 7 out of the 15 people that are running for re-election this year are facing primary challenges from the right. Now, what's going to be interesting about this year's election is we're really going to see a testing of whether or not the activist wing of the party, who says that purifying the party of Republicans in name only or rhinos and adhering to a Republican platform that is frankly very conservative, we're going to see the theory of that actually being susceptible to most voters actually being tested this year. Like ultimately, the success of the moderates this election cycle, or the incumbents, is really going to speak to, I guess, how strong that upswell is of grassroots Republicans in the state right now.
The last couple of elections, you really saw strong efforts and then money thrown into these races, which maybe never showed up before. I know you're looking into some of that. Has the moderate side now decided to go to war on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've already seen it in some degrees. I know the organization that got a lot of attention from the right wing so far has been the Frontier Republicans, which is a political action committee that was started by Sheridan area GOP activist Gail Simmons. She's run for a couple of things in the past. Neshonah County GOP chairman Joe McGinley and Doug Camlin out of Converse County. Those guys have been leading the charge on that, but their focus hasn't exactly been state house races. They've been focused more on the precinct level, looking to take back the party from the inside. What we're really seeing is kind of a war in big donors that have actually been emerging in this year's elections. Supporting right-wing candidates, we see typical names like the Brophys, Dan and Carlene. They've pumped nearly six figures into this year's elections. Susan Gore, who's of course the founder of the Wyoming Liberty Group and some other groups, she's dumped about $30,000 into these races. And we've also seen a number of different conservative organizations come up, kind of propping up these candidates who are challenging incumbents from the right. On the other side of the spectrum, we've seen the emergence of top figures in Republican politics of the past, the True family. We've seen Matt Michaeli weigh in, organizing a political campaign committee here, and we've actually seen like a big proportion of the entrenched political class from around the state throwing thousands of dollars at some of these races to help protect some of these invulnerable incumbents. And I guess like in that, you really see that there are two distinct sides of thought that are not only fighting for the soul of the Republican Party, but for the legislature at this point.
Nick Reynolds of the Casper Star Tribune visiting with us. So let's talk about some of the races that you are watching very closely. I know a lot of people in Gillette talking about that Senator Michael Von Fladern race. Talk a little bit about that, who his opponent is, and what seems to be the issues there.
I guess that one really is a question of whether this message of getting rid of these Republicans in name only is going to be a successful message. Because I think you can talk to anyone in Cheyenne and you'll know that Michael Von Fladern is probably not the most emblematic conservative of Republicans in the legislature. But I mean, he's effective, and he's a pragmatic lawmaker, and he's been in the community for a really long time. And we know that ethic in Wyoming politics, that I think people vote for the person more than the platform in a lot of cases. But as we're seeing that idea tested around the state, we're certainly going to be seeing it tested in Gillette, particularly as all of these outside groups, Wyoming Gun Owners, Wyoming Conservative Alliance, literally everybody has been piling on. He's actually, interestingly enough, facing off against one of his neighbors. Troy McKeown, I believe his name is, actually lives right down the street from him. And he's kind of been running largely on the similar line to what some of the other opposition upstart candidates are running on across the state. It's an opposition to new taxes. It's a promise to be more in line with gun rights and pro-life issues. It's almost like I guess we kind of noticed these themes that have been popping up in races around the state, and seeing a place like Von Flattern's district, those are really going to come to a head. I think we've seen similar arguments break out up in Sheridan, where John Heineman is now facing off against Mark Jennings, who's a standard bearer of that party's line of thinking. I mean, I know that he's very active in the state Republican politics and has supported some of the most hardline conservative pieces of legislation in the legislature the last couple of years, or at least signed on to them. We're also seeing that in House District 31 over the race for outgoing Representative Scott Clem's seat between John Baer and County Commissioner Mickey Schober. And even in races out in Cody, where we're seeing Sandy Newsom fighting off a very, very strong challenge from a very right-wing candidate in Nina Weber, who was a former Hot Springs County clerk.
We also see an interesting one down in Laramie County, referring to the Anthony Bouchard and Aaron Johnson.
Right? That one's a really interesting one, because I think if we already look in the past of that, Senate District 6 has already shown susceptibility to be very narrow. I mean, the way the districting works in Wyoming, there really isn't an opportunity to gerrymander a lot of districts. And I actually had a story written about the last redistricting effort in the early 2010s about how there was some gamesmanship at the end to create districts, sort of out near Laramie County that that have kind of been more advantageous to incumbents at the time, that now has sort of flipped on moderates out there. I know that this one was infamously redrawn in 2012 to actually include a prison that was over the county line in an effort to protect an incumbent there at the time. And those conditions, after that incumbent, Wayne Johnson, announced his retirement, allowed Bouchard to actually overcome what had previously been pretty narrow losses to Johnson to managed to actually eke out a win over House Republican David Zwanitzer in that by about 5 votes. This round we kind of seen something different. I think now we have a challenger in Aaron Johnson, who's a pretty well-established contract lobbyist in Cheyenne, has worked for the Cuban administration as well as within Mark Gordon's cabinet. And, she's been on the front of a number of different policy issues. And, she's a very credible Republican candidate. She's earned support from almost every industry group in the state, as well as endorsements from the vice president of the Senate, who, of course, wants Bouchard out. I think that's been pretty public on social media, as well as former Governor Matt Mead, who's actually put quite a bit of outsized influence on this race, which I've found to be really interesting. And assuming Bouchard can emerge from those conditions, then we're looking at a general election in which he's facing a Democrat who's put together one of the most impressive volunteer operations in the state. You're kind of seeing an outpouring from both sides, not only within his own party, but also from Democrats in his district who have always faced an uphill battle to get him out of there. And I don't think any other race around the state really has an element like that to it.
And you mean Brittany Wallace in that case, who had started, I think, Black Dog Animal Rescue, which has been popular, and that doesn't hurt her. I know you've got to run, but is there another race or two that you're also keeping your eye very closely on?
Another really interesting one to watch is House District 47. And this is another race where we've seen money flow in from both sides. You see incumbent Jerry Paxton, who's been very bulletproof so far. He's won every single one of his races since 2013. The lowest margin of victory he's had was 21 points. And this year, he actually seems to be facing quite a bit of challenge in what is shaping up to be a four-way election out there. You have Dee Garrison, who's a one-time president of the Wyoming Association of Correctional Employees. You have perennial candidate Julie McAllister. And you also have Joey Correnti, who's the Carbon County Republican Party's chair, who has actually received thousands of dollars in donations from donors like Susan Gore, the Brophies, of course. And I believe Casper mega donor Kathy Eide is on there. She's not extremely active in party apparatus, but she does give large amounts of money to some candidates on occasion. And we've sort of seen a similar alignment in donors behind Paxton from more moderate donors in that case. So that one should be really interesting. You know, it's a big question mark for sure.
Nick, we're going to talk with you on election night. Thank you for joining us today, and good luck with all of this.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and looking forward to chatting next time.